This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 656, with guest Jay Franzi, recorded on August 21st, 2025. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way in your home, news reviews, product updates, and conversation. All for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska. Not really. Been super hot. Jay, is Kentucky been like unreasonable? I think it'd have to be, right?
Unbearable. And it's not the temperature as much as it is the humidity. I know everybody will say that, but it has been miserable. Like, you go outside, and as soon as 5 seconds after being outside, you need to take a shower again.
You're just sweating. I hate it. Now, let's see. You're in Kentucky. There's lots of good lakes and rivers and streams to get in. Nebraska, not so much. Does everybody get out to the lake in this kind of weather?
My kid's birthday was 2 weeks ago, and I took her to the beach. And she's like, what do you mean the beach? We live in Kentucky. But there's a beach just over the border in Ohio that it's a giant lake, but it's got the sand. And I mean, if you didn't know any better, you would assume you were on an ocean.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. And there's jet skis and boats flying around. And
Ohio's got some good outdoor, like they are good at outdoor stuff, it seems like, in Ohio. I think Kentucky as well.
Yeah.
But
Kentucky, a lot of rivers.
Yeah. No, for sure. A lot of hollers. Yeah. You know, get back in the hollers. Get back in the hollers. Well, we'll post a show with some world-class show. There are caves. A lot of caves in there. Yeah, for sure. We'll post a show with some world-class show notes out at theaverageguy.tv. Speaking of caves, but not really. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. Appreciate you guys each and every month. We have just one plan, $5, if you want to jump in there and help support the show, helps pay for some things. And appreciate that, you giving back, if you want to do it, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. Honestly, the easiest way to do it, head out to theaverageguy.tv before you purchase on Amazon. I have a link there. You can click through. The network gets credit for it. And many of you did that during Prime Days. So thank you for doing that. As I saw those purchases come through, I was like, why July? Oh, yeah, Prime Days was there. Although Amazon does those tricky things, Jay. Like, I'm still seeing Prime deals. Like, in the, you know, I'm not sure it ever ends.
No. There's always something.
Yeah. Well, it's actually helped right now. There are, and we're going to talk about this here in a little bit, but there's good deals on solar generators. And as I've been talking about my solar, I'll give a quick update here a little bit later on solar generators. Now is a good time to buy. There's some good prices. By the way, on Amazon, don't always believe the first price you get. Look around for that product on another SKU somewhere. Could be cheaper. Anyways, big thanks to Aaron Lawrence. Joined me last week, 2 weeks ago. I took last week off. We had a Japanese exchange student here, high schooler. Miyu is here, and we'll talk about that as well. But a big thanks for giving me the week off, and thanks to Aaron who came on. If you haven't listened to that, 655, and go back and get it done as well. Jay Franzi is back with me. Jay, it's been way too long. How are you, man?
Good to see you. Very good. Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah. Great.
I always enjoy coming here.
How's the podcast?
Podcast is going very well. My new co-host has been very helpful, brings a whole different viewpoint to things. So,
what are you talking about mostly?
We do primarily country music, news, reviews, and interviews. So, the news portion obviously is just whatever's going on in the industry for that week. And then the reviews, if we find an artist or a song, something that we're going to review for that week. But then there's interviews, which is the people that I've worked with in the past or people that have come through with PR firms. So we get to talk to some amazing people that everybody would know. And then we get to talk to some up and coming people that people might not know. For example, the episode that's out now is Billie Jo Jones. And Billie Jo Jones, amazing country singer. She's fabulous. But nobody would probably know who she is, but she's been on The Voice, American Idol, and a few, two other country shows like that. So she's definitely got a small following. When I say small, for the country world, she's small. For us, it's probably huge.
Yeah.
but
she probably sings to more people on a weekend than we right. get downloads on the podcast
for the year.
Yeah. Right. No,
but still, it's great.
Yeah. Available Jay Franzi, all one word, FRANZE, by the way, jfranzi.com. If you want to check that out. Speaking of jfranzi.com, rumor has it you have a new book. Does Jay Franzi write books too? What else? What don't you do, Jay?
Going to be very, very nice right now. Yes. My wife would probably have some suggestions.
Oh, okay. However, that's true. That's probably true.
Yes. Book number 5 has been released today.
Nice. Yes. I didn't realize you had written that many books. Congratulations on the 5th. Like, why do you keep punishing yourself by writing a book? Like, you know, they're work.
I feel like, to me, the books open up doors more than they do. Less than trying to get people to buy my book. It's the doors that the books open that really help me. So the first time I was teaching at a college in Nashville, I was teaching audio engineering, which is the process of recording the audio for the recording artist. And I would get work and everything was great and things were fine. But I wrote a book. I had notes that I've took to use the software. The industry standard software is called Pro Tools. And I just, any note, any trick, anything I could find, I just jotted down in a 3-ring binder. And it was a 3-inch 3-ring binder. And everybody just kept asking me if they could borrow it. And finally someone says, why don't you just turn it into a book? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, okay. But I did. I turned it into a book. And from that point forward, life changed. And when I say that, I mean the school looked at me differently as a teacher at that school. The students looked at me differently, and the artists and people that I went to work with, the producers and that I would go to work with in the studio, had my book on their bookshelf, and it started to make a big difference on the work I was getting. And I realized at that point that the book does give a lot of credibility.
Yeah, in the coaching space that I help manage for Gallup, all the coaches want to write books. That's their ticket to coaching. In some of the work that they're doing, when you think about, I was just going on Amazon and saw a couple of your books here, Leadership that you wrote back in 2018, The Ideas of Leadership, 22. I'm assuming a follow up to the 2018. Tome of Leadership, The Ideas of Leadership in 2021. Just a couple of them. What was your first book?
Pro Tools A to Z.
Okay, yeah. So Pro Tools A to Z, all about Pro Tools. Does it hold up today, do you think?
No, okay. Not at all. If you think about it, the book, I'm the first to admit it. Don't buy the book.
No, it's great. It's awesome. I know. I appreciate you saying that. Yeah.
I will tell you, it was written when version 5 of the software was out. Yeah. And that was a long time ago. So that software, if they still gave it a number, would be on probably version 25.
Yeah.
Did you
weren't podcasting. What year did that come out, do you think?
2007, I would say. Oh, 2000.
Pretty early.
Maybe 2003, maybe.
Okay. Pretty early. So no podcasting yet around.
No, we started doing podcasting very early. Probably as a school, very early, not myself.
Yeah.
As a school, we started doing it very early because we had a deal with Apple. And Apple provided our students with laptops and iPods. So like everybody else, we got an iPod and they were telling us that, hey, we're putting this feature in here and for podcasts. So we didn't know what a podcast was at the time. So what we did was we were bringing in guest speakers. And so say we would bring Bob Bullock, who's the producer that I worked for. We would bring him in. He would speak to the students. But then it would sit down and be like a coffee session where I would interview him. And the next person that would come in, I would interview that person. And then they started releasing those as podcasts. So I had no idea at that time what was going on. Mm-hmm. But now I look back at it, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And it was a kind of cool thing.
when I invited you, you're a regular. For new listeners, you're a regular out here. I've had you on dozens of podcasts so far. I didn't know you'd written a new book. So this isn't you reaching out to me saying, hey, can I promote my new book? But you're here. So show me your new book. What do you got? Show it there. Tell me a little bit about it.
This is the new book. It's called Stand Out or Fade Out. I say new. I mean, this is literally the proof copy. So it came in the mail today. So it was approved. Everything in it meets what the publisher said it would and all that stuff. So it's here. It's available. It just came out literally, like I said, today. So I'm very excited. I'm not necessarily expecting people to I'm not here to pimp the book.
Nah, we did, but it's exciting. Listen, it's a lot of work to put one of those together. And you think, you know, and in the world of AI, right now, all of a sudden everybody's like, I'll just have AI write the book.
Yeah. 5 minutes.
Hey, newsflash. That's still a lot of work. Like you still got to read the whole thing. You got to check it. It's going to go to an editor. The editor's going to change stuff. Like you're going to go back and forth. It's going to make stuff up. You're going to have, so there is still a ton of work that goes in. I'm assuming by the title, is it about influencers? Is it about, just give us a little summary of
absolutely.
What it's about.
The subtitle on there is Strategies for Standing Out in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
So the majority of my career was in Nashville. So I worked as an audio engineer and I actually had an opportunity to produce a few projects. But I started in Boston, went to New York, and then spent the majority of the time in Nashville. So I grew an appreciation for country music, and I grew an appreciation for the industry itself. It's like any other industry. It's like podcasting. You know, we start doing it, and then we start learning about it, and then we want to be part of it, and then you're part of that community. So what I was doing is networking and working with these producers, and I realized, okay, like I mentioned before, the first book, it earned me a lot of credibility. And I realized, okay, well, that made me stand out a little bit more than the other engineers in the field at that time. And then other things that I did along the way made me stand out or helped me, you know, progress. I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. It wasn't like those things were planned. It wasn't a strategy. But now, if I had to do it all over again, it would be a strategy. And that's what the book is about. It's giving other people, artists and engineers, producers, a strategy to succeed.
What made you want to, certainly you had these thoughts in your head and you wanted to get them out. Is it really that simple? Like, hey, I know all this stuff. I'm in all this stuff. I mean, cause listen, there isn't always a lot in writing a book, there isn't always a lot of payoff for it. It's not like
no payoff.
It's going to be a New York Times bestseller, right? Sorry. I don't mean to sound sarcastic about that.
No, but I'm with you.
It's a niche book, right? It's for artists coming to Nashville. You're in that area. You've produced for them in the past. You got some knowledge on that. I'm assuming you've just got some things with singers and songwriters and musicians, because they all come to Nashville to make it big. It's like
a guitar and a dream.
No, right on. Well, I have a family friend that's trying to do that right now. They moved to Nashville. She is trying to make it big. Her parents moved with her to Nashville to help her get launched in this thing. She's singing everywhere she can, right? I mean, it's treasury. With this book, do you think this book would, like, for the average person coming to Nashville trying to make it, or would it even apply to anybody, do you think, that's trying to, you know, to be like, oh, man, I'm trying to make it in this world of entertainment or whatever?
Yeah, I would say that the book would apply to anybody in any industry, because the principles of branding and development strategies are the same no matter what you do. The difference in what makes it specific for Nashville for me was I took actual stories that I've either been through myself or that I've witnessed the artist going through when we were in the studio or with record labels. And it's those stories that are in the book. So if you were, executive at a corporation, the principles still apply. So you could open it up, you could follow along with the format. The difference is when you're reading the story, you're going to hear a music-related story. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happens. And you asked earlier the the driver, what made me do it or what made me want to do it. And I've been interviewing artists and a lot of up and coming artists over the past several years now. And at the end of, or at the beginning of the conversation, it always starts off, they don't typically know me and I don't typically know them, because they're coming from a PR firm and the PR firm is just trying to get their artists out in front of as many people as they can. So we've developed a good relationship with the PR firms and they have direct access to the booking link. They don't even ask permission. They just go on there and book artists. That's great. However, for me, I don't know the artists either. So it requires a lot of research for me to go in and figure out who I'm talking to that night. But what ends up happening is during the conversation, even a lot of the known artists will come on the show and they're used to being interviewed. So they go through a lot of interviews. And I think they get asked the same questions a lot. And it's just the standard things we talk about in the podcasting world. When you're doing interviews, don't ask basic questions. So I try to find a question to start the interview off that shows that it's going to be different than any other interview they've done. And then the fact that it's long format allows me to get into that a little bit more. And usually by the end of it, you know, whether it's through the discussion, we find out we used to work with the same people or we used to work out of the same studio or we've done something. There's some sort of connection that we've made. At the end of the show, when we sign off, I get asked a lot of questions. You know, how did you do this? How did we do that? Do you have any recommendations for me to get in touch with this person? And hundreds of interviews later, I'm like, okay, I could do this. I'll just go ahead and jot it down. Yeah. And that's what I did.
Yeah. Well, that's good. No, congrats. Good on you for getting that done. Between your books of, you know, let's just say 05 or whenever it was, beginning of the 21st century, and today, technology-wise, easier to write a book today based on writing tools and AI? I mean, just the physical work in writing a book, thoughts between those, the first and the fifth?
Well, yes, hands down, I think it's easier today, but I don't know if that's because I've been through it or because of technology. I would say it's both. But the first book, I remember I wrote it when my mother was sick. I had to go and take care of my mother. Long story short, she was in need of a double lung transplant, and I went home to take care of her until that transplant came into play.
That's serious. Yeah.
So when I was there, I remember we would sit down every night to watch TV. Watch her stories, whatever those would be, whether it be General Hospital or those type of things. We'd sit down and we'd watch those. And while she was doing that, I had my laptop on my lap and I would just write a book. I had no idea what I was doing. None whatsoever. Nothing. I just had that 3-ring binder of notes. I just typed them out, try to organize my thoughts and put them together, take screenshots from the software, put it in there. And it became a pretty thick book because I had a lot of screenshots, not because of the text. Right. But it worked. And people liked it. And a lot of other colleges, not the one that I was teaching at, but a lot of the other colleges bought it for their textbook and put it in their library. Mine did not. <That's ironic. laughs> Go figure. So
things are crazy that way. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's okay. It's been a lot of years. You've obviously recovered since then.
Yeah,
so you weren't a professor at the moment at that time, so you couldn't mandate it for the class you were teaching. A lot of professors do that, right? Write their own books.
And at the time, I didn't know anything about the publishing world. I didn't know how to get a publishing deal. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
So I started asking people, and they all said, no. I was like, okay, fine. So I looked into self-publishing and I figured it out pretty quick. It's technology, right? So it's just computer stuff. You just figure out what they're asking for, the formats they want, how they want it laid out, the artwork and everything. So I did it and I released it. And then the very first college, it was a college out of Canada, requested 1,000 books right out of the gate for their students to use as textbooks.
Okay.
And instantly the phone rings from a publishing company saying, you know, we've changed our mind. We think we can go ahead and do something here. And at that point, I was like, what different? It's too late.
Yeah.
What you were going to do for me has already been done.
Yeah. So that first self-published book probably did pretty, since you self-published it, and you know, if you sold to a couple of universities, it did pretty well for you, I would assume.
Yeah, the first one by far did the best, and that's solely because colleges used it as a textbook. If that didn't happen, it wouldn't have sold.
Yeah,
you know, it just the same as all the others. Well,
it's a niche, right? Right place, right time. There's a little luck.
I definitely
somebody picked it up. Yeah. No, good. No,
it was the credibility piece that I was looking for, or I didn't realize I was looking for, but that's what I got out of it.
Yeah.
And that's what I enjoyed from it. The rest of it was just gravy. But you mentioned earlier not becoming, you know, wealthy off of it, and you're not going to. And I'll be the first one to tell you, you buy that book on Amazon or any other of those services like that, make $1.
Yeah.
The first book, I make $3. So there you go. I live large. But the new books,
just the money was just flowing.
Right? This book right here, you buy it on Amazon, $1 comes to me.
Okay.
So, and it sells for $20.
If they buy it on your website, do you get more? Do you get to keep more? Okay. Yeah. So jfranzi.com.
If you buy it off the website, and again, not asking people to do that.
No, for sure. I just want to, I had no idea. Listen, up until about 30 minutes ago,
I didn't even know
you had written a book. Yeah.
The only reason is it came in the mail as we're walking down here.
Yeah. Well, you and I were talking pre-show and I was like, what's new? And you're like, hey, my new book came. And I'm like, you wrote a book? Let's talk about this. This is awesome. So,
Tell you the difference that book, it sells for $20. If you buy it on Amazon, between them and the distribution company, I get $1. If you buy it straight from the website, so you bypass Amazon, I make $10.
Oh, okay.
So that shows you the cut.
Shows you the Amazon,
Amazon cut, right? Takes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the book industry is a tough one. And you know, most books, most authors never even see a profit out of their book. And, you know, if you count all the time that you took, if you took all the time and multiplied it times an annual, you know, times a hourly salary, you'd be in debt, right, by the time it gets published. So yeah, it's a tough space. There's a lot of value though. I'll never write one, but there's a lot of value. And I just don't have the desire. Everyone's like, you're going to write a book. And I'd have, in the 10 years I've been podcasting for Gallup, and then for the 14 years, or we're coming up on 15 this December, I've had some interesting interviews. I've learned a lot about podcasting. I'm learning a lot about people. I could write a book about it. I just don't want to. I just prefer to do this. This is my favorite. I'm going to just keep making these. This is my favorite thing to do.
I'm with you. That's what I enjoy the most. My show. That's what I enjoy the most.
Yeah.
Getting on here and talking like this is much better to me than writing that book. The benefit of the book or stuff for me is I go to a lot of music related conventions. Like I just got back from CMA Fest about a month or so ago. And CMA Fest is, if you're not familiar, it's a gathering in Nashville where fans come to meet their artists and then see them perform. So they get to walk from booth to booth to booth and get autographs and take pictures with the artists that they like. Well, one of the booths that gets set up is one for my show where you can walk by and you can, you know, we'll interview somebody live at the booth and that type of stuff. So having that book there will help in the future, but it also gets me speaking gigs at the music related colleges. Yeah. So I get to go to the college and it's credibility to get me in the door to speak to people.
Do you have a publisher? Not a publisher. Do you have a publicist that does that for you, that gets you, or are you your own? Do you schedule your own stuff? Do they contact you directly? How does that work?
No, I do everything myself. I have in the past used a publicist when I was doing the music career, like doing the actual engineering work.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing the engineering work, what they don't tell you when you're in school is you're only going to work maybe, you know, 3-4 sessions a month. Mm. And those sessions may be a couple days each, but it's only a few a month. If you added it up, it's only going to be 1 week's worth of work. So you spend your entire time hunting for the next job. Mm. So if you get somebody to assist you in that process, which most people don't do, but if that's one of the little tricks you could learn is get somebody else to do it for you. Pay them the fee because it's worth it. Because then you're working every day And yeah, why not give, it's like anything else, give a cut of your money away, but by doing that, you're getting more work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, congrats and good work on that. It's a lot of work, and it, I just, for folks I know that have done that, it's a labor of love. I hope it is very successful. And I hope for the folks that read it, they are successful in Nashville. That's a, you know, it's a unique place. And, I've never made it down there. I need to do a Nashville trip.
Nashville's the place to go if you're doing a bachelorette party. Bachelorette capital of the world.
That's what I've heard. All right, let's talk tech.
Yes.
Jay, you had mentioned to me in the pre-show you're in the market for a new computer.
I am, sir.
You know, that's an interesting thing because, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, the computer purchase for a family, for a you know, for an individual was a big deal. And now I think for most people, they are issued or they have a computer at work. And what we're seeing from the trends, I mean, certainly there is a certain number of, you know, Microsoft keeps track of Windows installations around the world. And I think it's in the billions, basically. But I think most people these days, for the most part, if they're lucky, they've got one computer. I think they're doing a lot of stuff either at work or on their phones. And I don't think we're doing as much. Now, for this audience, that's we have multiple computers. But I just kind of feel like there's a general overall trend where we're getting away from that for the most part. College students might be a little bit different. They'll keep their college computer when they get out, but then they're going to get issued one when they get to work. You're in the process of trying to decide between a Mac Pro, a Mac Mini, and a Mac Studio. Why are you getting a new computer now? Like, what's going on?
All right. Well, within arm's reach, I probably got four. Like you said, I've got my work. Yeah, we all do. Right,
this
here
is the, yeah, I've this is got, the, this audience we, I've seen, right. But yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and if we talked iPhones and iPads and every other iDevice, my room is full. So I'm very grateful to have the Mac family of items. However, I have currently for my music production computer, which is the one that's sitting here in front of me, that's a Mac Mini. It's an old Mac Mini, 2019. So it is still doing the work. However, I'm just now starting to notice limitations when it comes to, like, I can't upgrade the software anymore because the operating system isn't high enough. Now, I could upgrade the operating system, but I'm afraid that the computer's not powerful enough for the latest operating system. So, and then if I do the latest Pro Tools software and plugins and everything that goes along with it, I might be putting too much stress on that computer. But even things like Google Chrome is limited. I can't upgrade that anymore. So that production computer, in my opinion, I either have to run the risk of overtaxing it or I have to get a new one. So that's what I'm thinking about there. Then my personal computer is the laptop that I use for all of the business related things.
That's a Mac?
That's a MacBook Pro.
Okay, it's a Pro.
And that is also old. However, it's still functioning. And I did upgrade the operating system because I don't have anything that's going to tax it too much on that computer. And it seems to be running fine. So my thought is, I've never used the same computer for both. And if I did, it would have to be the laptop because I needed to be mobile. And I've always kept the production computer separate because there's not even a file on the computer. It has external hard drives.
Right.
Everything is, so the computer is strictly production based only.
Yeah. Are you doing heavy, intense processing? I mean, audio, are you still doing audio editing? Or are you doing that kind of stuff? Still, are you doing video?
No, I thought I was going to, and I did a few videos just to try it out, but no, I didn't like doing that on the audio production computer.
So the Pro is probably out for you. I mean, yes. I mean, if you just want to buy the Mac Mini and send me the difference between that and the studio, you're welcome to. If you want to spend the money on the studio, why would you go as powerful as a Let me think. As the Pro, the Mac Pro.
I wouldn't go with the Mac Pro.
MacBook?
The Pro? MacBook Pro.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
All right. Okay.
MacBook Pro, Mac Mini, or Mac Studio.
Okay. So why wouldn't you just go with replacing the Mini and go with an M4, and you probably are set at that point. I think it may be one of the best price points.
Yeah, I noticed the price point is pretty good. My only concern, and you would know better than I, is the lifespan of it. You know, if I invest in the Mac Studio versus the Mac Mini, will I get more life out of it?
That's a good question. I don't know if I know the answer to that one based on, like, the M4, you know, just came out. And so I don't know if we know the longevity of that chip from a, and you're not talking about it wearing out. You're talking about it being relevant to the software.
Software upgrades.
Yeah. I feel like the M1 was a great improvement over everything else. But the M4 came along pretty fast, and I think, man, I tell you what, I have loved my Mini M4. Like, it is, it continues to amaze me. Let me give you an example. So I run some AI agents locally. So I have a pretty powerful Windows computer. It's got a RTX 3060 on it, which isn't the most powerful gaming, you know, GPU in the space, but it's still pretty good. It's got a Ryzen 7, I think Ryzen 7, Ryzen 5, maybe it's a 5 in it. Not bad. Again, not the most powerful, but not bad. Pretty good for on the Windows side of things. And I loaded the newest, and then I've got the Mac Mini M4, and I loaded the newest OpenAI just released a 20 billion open source AI model that you can download. It's 20 gig, so it's pretty big. And I put it on the Windows side of things, and I was like, yeah, this isn't going to run. Like, I'd ask it a question, and it would, now, you know, it was assigned to the video card, so it was using the video card to make it work. It struggled. I brought it on the M4, didn't even blink. Like, it just was like, yeah, ready to go on this kind of thing. Now, I have 128 gig of RAM on the and a dedicated video, 8 gig graphics video card on the Windows box. The M4, I think I have 24 gig of RAM or 32, maybe about the 32 gig of RAM on this thing. I have to go back and look. It's funny how that stuff escapes you. You know, I just bought this thing pretty recently, but it moves away from you. It's not the top of the top, but I've really liked the M4 as just a, from a rig of just doing, I think, what you're going to be doing with it. I think it's going to be fine. I think you're going to get 10 years of use out of it, to be honest.
Yeah. So the computer I have now, I think I bought it in 19. I think it was 18 or 19. So I've had a fairly good run on it because I didn't buy the new one at the time. So it was probably one of the ones that were on its way out. And I just bought it because it was supposed to be a second production system, not the main one. It ended up being the main one. So I think I've gotten pretty good life out of it. Like I said, it still works now.
Yeah.
However, you know, like I said, there are starting to be some limitations to it.
Best price point, the Mini M4. Like, I think. And then there's tons of docks for it. Like, everybody's making accessories for the M4 Mini. And I think it's just the workhorse of the Mac family. That's all I'd ever recommend. Now, I'd max it out. Like, well, okay. The 2 gig model, the 2 terabyte model, you are definitely, you're paying the Apple tax. Like, I think I might go with 1 terabyte. You don't store anything locally anyways.
No, not a thing.
So the 1 terabyte, I would max out the memory on it. So I'd get as much as you can possibly get at the time you buy it. It's one of the things I learned by building computers. When I built the Windows computer, 128 gig was what I could get in there. That's what I was going to get. And so I just, you know, I'd make sure I get it all in that time. Yeah, I think you'd be fine. Terabyte and 32 gig is probably the highest you can get right now. I don't know. I'd have to go out and price it. But yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about that?
No, that, I mean, that would be fine. Does the old docking station work with the new system? I mean, I'm sure it works with it, but
it depends on what the old one was and the size of it and some of those things. I mean, they've changed a few things in the size and the, you know, on the Mac Mini, the M4, the power buttons now underneath the bottom on the upper hand, out on the upside, right? So,
yeah. So the computer's the docking station.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't know what you have there, but
I have the one I have looks identical to the Mac Mini, and the Mac Mini just sits on top of it.
It's the first version of the Mini or the original Mini. Is it the Intel Mini or is it the?
It's the Intel
Mac. The Intel. Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say any of that stuff. It might. I wouldn't say it will.
Work. Well, as far as the functionality, it's just a USB connection, so I'm assuming the functionality would work.
Yeah.
Mac Mini 20 or 3.6 gigahertz Intel Core i3.
Yeah. The size may be different, I think it is. So the docking station, depending on where you want to put that docking station and how it connects, you know, I think, to be honest, what you were getting ready to pay for the MacBook Pro, you could get the Mini and a really nice brand new docking station that's built specifically for the M4. And, you know, Bob's your uncle at that point. I think you could get away with a pretty good, you know, with a pretty good. Don't buy into the Apple Intelligence stuff. It's not very good on the Mac, right? That's still. I've never used it once since it's come out on the Mini. It's just not very good. They may get better with it.
What would but you as use far it for?
As pure, well, it's supposed to be it's their version of AI, right? So
it functions the same as like ChatGPT or the other.
Supposed to, yeah. It's not even close. Justin says in the chat that the since obviously I didn't prep for this part, but the M4 is smaller than the old ones. So, Brian says if you're going from the Intel to Apple Silicon M4, right. Blown away. I would agree. I don't get too crazy about this stuff sometimes, but technically going from the M1 to the M4 was a pretty good upgrade. Like,
you know, I used to get so far into all of this.
Yeah.
But now I just want what works and what's going to be stable. Yeah. And this, like I said, has been working fantastic. It still runs the old version of Pro Tools, which is what I'm using here at the house. So for me, it's been great. But I am noticing limitations. And I also noticed some of my plugins went offline the other day. They said, nope, we've had enough.
Yeah. Like, nix the Bonhoeff. Let's not do this anymore. I do have the 32 gig version here. So I that's what I would recommend for what you're doing. You'll just future-proof it. It should last a super long time. Now, that being said, if Apple releases a new architecture that's an M6, let's say, I'll probably trade this one in. I mean, I traded my M1 in, got, I don't know, $300 or $400, whatever, and then, you know, bought this one. $1,200 maybe for the, you know, out the door, something like that for it.
So when I trade this one in, you're saying I should get at least $1,000 for it.
Oh, well, no. I don't even know if they'll take it. That's interesting.
No, they're not going to. I'd be surprised if they took this one.
You never know with Apple, to be honest with you. You should try.
They'll probably take it, but
yeah,
for it's a very be small.
Like 50 small bucks, spot. $5, yeah. Something like that, yeah. You know, when they're taking any money for it, they're making plenty of money off the ones they're selling, right? That are in there. So, I think that'd be my recommendation. Is 32 gig terabyte. I could get away with the half a terabyte, right? 512, right? And 512 gig on that. The operating system takes half of it, so that leaves about 200 gig left, and I offload everything to the Unraid box, and I'm really careful not to keep anything on the box, and I've never, ever, ever, ever had a problem. So if you're shuffling it, you could save a little bit of money and just go 512. Honestly, I think I'd go terabyte for you. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But like you said, I don't keep a single file. There's not a single file other than, you know, software that gets installed.
Yeah, you would have more than enough. If at the terabyte, you'd have more than enough. More than enough. Three quarters of it, you'll have you'll have 750 gig available to you. Mac OS takes about 250. The crazy thing about the Mac OS that I haven't seen, or that I've always seen with Windows, is the Mac OS doesn't grow over time. Like Windows grows, you know, it just like, like all our waistlines as we get older, it just keeps growing, you know.
Don't go there, because mine is growing for sure.
I just had a physical yesterday and I was like, oh, go, yikes. I just have not experienced the bloat on the Mac side of things.
I've been looking at Mac for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to build PCs, but I've been Mac at least since I started working in Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a great audio processor. It has great video work. I mean, why wouldn't you?
All of the pro studios in Nashville, they used Macs and they used Pro Tools. So that's why I went with Mac and Pro Tools to start. Other people I worked with at the beginning chose a different audio software and they were working on PCs. And they still do, but they don't work in the professional realm. They don't work in the big studios. They're working in project studios. Right. And I think that's where you see the difference between those computers and the operating systems. So I like the Mac. I like the stuff in the bigger studios. And I've grown used to Pro Tools. It used to be very proprietary where you had to use their hardware and everything along with it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you. I may not build another Windows computer. Like I've got this newest one that I built a couple of years ago. And, I'm kind of like, this thing will probably last a while.
Right.
You know? It's got the TPM 2.0. It's got plenty of hardware. Windows 11 runs great on it. I'm anticipating, the question for me, Jay, is I've got two older computers, one running Open Media Vault and one running Unraid, which are my NAS devices. How long do those last? You know, that's the question. Like, how long, till I see those are a little long in the tooth, so to speak, when, I have a Core i3 box 530. That's the first gen Core i3 that I'm running. No, that's not true anymore. I am running a box that's got the first gen Core i3. The Unraid's running on an i7, but it's still a decade old, and you're like, well, how long is this stuff going to last?
And that's why you need to keep buying the new higher end ones, so you have the lower end ones that you can keep passing down.
You move.
That's what I tell the wife. We're just passing them down.
They're just passing down. Yeah. Someday this Ryzen box that I have with 120 gig of RAM, it's going to make a great Unraid server, and you'll be like, oh, you could run a ton of stuff on it. I run VMs on it today for some stuff. Things.
Well, at the office, they give us crypto. Dell laptops, and mine's got to be ancient, but it still runs. It still does everything it's supposed to do. Everybody complains that, oh, my computer's old. It's like, yeah, it's old, but it's doing everything it needs to do.
They really do. They kind of really do. The one exception, Jay, I've seen to that is in laptops, where some of the older laptops, they just get to a point and they just crap. Like, they're good until they're not. And then there's something one day they just give up the ghost on something and you're like, oh, this isn't going to work anymore. I had an old Core i5, which it should have worked, had 16 gigs of RAM in it, should have been fine, but it was, I tried running Zoom on it for some things, and no matter what I did, couldn't run Zoom and anything else at the same time. Like, it was not, it was one of those kinds of things. And you're just like, I don't. So they're good till they're not on the laptop side of things. It's, I think, because they try to jam so much into that little space and they use, mobile processors and some of those kinds of things. I think we're going to see a departure from that with Mac, like the M4 architecture, where it's all, everything is kind of, I don't want to say it's system on a chip because that's the wrong thing, but everything is unified, right? It's all unified together. I think you're going to see those last a lot longer than the Intel based stuff. And, you know, I think the crazy thing is, I think we're going to get to a point where you're like wishing it dies so you can get right. something new.
I want a new one.
I want a new one. This thing just keeps working. Justin out in chat says the Ugreen, we're talking about NAS devices, Ugreen, which has come on here in the last couple of years. You know, if you guys remember, if you've been listening for a long time, I had a Ugreen solar generator that didn't work. I had to send it back. Ended up picking up the Blue Eddy AC180. I'm going to talk a little bit. I got a new one coming. I'll talk about that here in just a second. But yeah, Ugreen's kind of coming on in the NAS space and looking like, listen, a Ugreen NAS is basically a PC with their hardware designed to look like a, you know, to look like a NAS. So they have some interesting things coming on board. Well, good, Jay, good luck on as you make this purchase. Like I said, I think you'll be, with what you're doing, you'll be more than happy with the Mini. Use that extra money to upgrade and then use it also to get a new docking station. Get a new one. I wouldn't try to make the old ones work. There's some really good.
I think I have a way out.
Really good. Okay.
Because my wife says my daughters, three of them, but my daughters, the oldest one is in high school, and she's in one of those schools where they do high school and college at the same time. Oh, wow. So she's taking her first college classes this year. Okay. And my wife's like, they assign the kids the notebook computers. Yeah. And so she's been getting those, but this year she's been using her iPad. And my wife's like, why don't we just buy her a laptop? And I'm like, that might be. I get the new laptop and she can have the current laptop.
Yeah.
So
would you buy an Apple laptop?
Hands down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Hands down.
Okay. All right. That's going to be like, okay.
Yeah. I've had the MacBook Pro for years.
Yeah. I would not right now. I don't have any good reasons to buy a Windows laptop. Like, I just can't think of any good reasons why I would want to. I get issued the ones at work. I get issued, and we're starting to do like, we're not getting choices yet, but we may be getting to that point where they're like, you want a Mac or you want a PC? And there's nothing on the PC side that's exciting me about. I mean, I guess if I could get an AMD laptop, Intel is a, I almost said that. Intel is a mess right now. Right. And I don't know. You know, you're kind of like, maybe I'll just get a Mac.
And what's funny is they've all been my clients in the past. And whichever client we switch to, all of a sudden the company is using nothing but their products.
Yeah.
So it's always written in the contract that you have to use our products.
Yeah. No, right on. Well, and we continue. I mean, we're a Windows shop. So, you know, a lot of the infrastructure is built around Windows. And so the IT guys, you know, they want to continue to run Windows boxes because they're easier with the tools they have to administrate them. And so, you know, but we're getting better on the Mac side. I'll be honest. I use a browser. I don't, doesn't matter to me anymore. I don't even look at the OS anymore.
You know what's funny?
Mac here, but Windows here. I don't care.
You mentioned that I've been paying for Microsoft Office, you know, $10 a month forever.
Yeah.
And when I upgraded my laptop, I didn't reinstall Office because it took up a lot of memory and the laptop just doesn't have that much memory left on it. So I left it off to see if I could get away with using Apple's version. And I've been using Apple's version, that Office suite, and it's been working just fine. But when it came time to do the book, I was like, oh, all the books and everything I have, it's all been done on Word, and all the pre-stuff was done on Word. So I said, all right, I'll go ahead and reinstall it. So I did. I reinstalled it, and it wasn't working properly where I couldn't open up the old files. I couldn't use any of the old format. So I just finally said, screw it, and I used the Mac version, and it worked perfect. So I just used it for the whole thing.
Yeah. I think Pages just automatically now converts to a Word format. Yeah. I think they're all fine. The Office 365 subscription though will get you a Mac version of it as well. That should work well on old hardware.
Well, that's what I'm using.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, it's on my computer. It works
great on the M4. Yeah. Word works great. So does Excel on the M4. They work great.
Yeah, I'm sure Excel probably flies.
Yeah, well, and the other thing you're facing is you're not on Apple Silicon, and everything's changed over to Apple Silicon, right? From a application standpoint, they're not developing. Microsoft's not developing that version anymore for anything except Apple Silicon. So you've got to be careful there. Brian says out in chat, he says he's been pretty impressed with Apple's productivity software. And I think the interoperability, that maybe if that's the right word. By the way, the Russell's is gone. I think they've figured all this out of making these things all work together. I do see some problems in between notes. No, that's not the right numbers in Excel. Some of the macros in Excel don't necessarily translate to numbers in some of the work we do. But I think for the most part, I don't know, Jay, I think we're kind of beyond, for most people, we're kind of beyond that. Listen, we all use Excel. I mean, Excel is certainly giant, but, and I guess maybe Word has is embedded, right? From everybody uses Word. But you know, some of those alternatives, whether it's Libra or Pages, I think they've all kind of figured out they've got to be Word compatible. Right. Right. So yep. I'm sure there's exceptions, but well, keep us posted on when you pull the trigger on that thing. I think you'll be more than happy with the Mac Mini. Jay, did you build the fire pit? Did that ever get built?
I hate you.
The AI, yeah. I was using Grok today. I was talking, by the way, John Biggs said to me, you got to try Grok. We had the co-pilot instance join me as a co-host here. He's like, you got to try Grok. And I haven't, with all the things that have been going on, I haven't been the biggest ex Twitter fans. But I tried Grok over the last couple days, and I asked it about you, and I said, hey, I'm having Jay Franzi, and although it didn't tell me you were writing a new book, so maybe it doesn't have all the latest information, right? But I said, what should we talk about? And I said, you should talk about the gazebo fire pit that Jay is going to build in his backyard. Did you ever get that done?
Not done, sir. Okay. However, progress. And I can tell you about my accidental progress.
Oh, okay. I like this. I like it. Okay.
All right. So what we have done so far this year, we're trying to make gradual progress with the outside of the house. The inside is getting there. This room was done for me. My wife has a room for herself. And we put hardwood floors throughout the house. We've done everything but the bathrooms and the kitchen. But as far as the outside goes, none of that's happening because my wife's like, well, we need the bathroom and the kitchen. So why spend the money on the outside stuff? But to me, curb appeal means something. I want to come home to a house that looks decent. Right, right. So I want some mulch in the front yard and all that. So we did that. I learned this little trick, put some mulch down, starting to look nice. My wife painted the mailbox, painted the front door, painted the front of the house. Everything is starting to take shape from the front. Yeah. Now, I still got to do some stuff in the back, but what my wife did, I mentioned I have three kids, one of them being a three-year-old. So my wife bought a swimming pool for the three-year-old, a little blow-up swimming pool.
Yeah.
So she put it in the backyard, filled it up.
You're going to get 1 year out of that, by the way.
It's probably done already. Probably hasn't even made the year. No doubt hasn't even made the year.
Yeah.
What it has done is killed the grass in a perfect circle.
Oh, for sure. Oh.
Right where the fire pit goes. Yes. So now I have authorization for fire pit because we have to do something about the big giant crop circle in the back of our yard.
You do. That is great. Maybe that's a new strategy for gentlemen. Right, if you need a place for a fire pit, just suggest, hey, let's put a blow-up pool in the backyard. Get a
pool for the kids.
drag that's great. Drag it out to the spot where you want the fire pit. So the grass is dead. You haven't started building anything yet, have you?
No. Perfect circle. I mean, when I say perfect circle, it's a perfect circle.
Yeah. Perfect. Spray paint it now.
I did get the
get a can of spray paint and spray paint it now so it stays
stays dead.
Yeah.
Yep. And I did get the Adirondack chairs.
Oh, good.
So we've been looking at the stone. We went down the other day and we started picking out the stone and everything want to use to assemble the pit itself.
Yeah.
The only thing we haven't talked about is putting a gazebo up.
Okay.
You know, because we live on a lake and we're afraid that the gazebo would obstruct the view of the lake.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's good. It's a good thought.
My wife wants to put a fence up. Oh, a new piece of technology we got that we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
We have a new dog.
Oh.
And I say technology because the dog is for my daughter. It's a service dog, or it's going to be a service dog.
Okay.
So it is in training, the most expensive pet ever, by the way. I mean,
you could have bought a robot from Boston Dynamics.
Easily. Cheaper than this dog. Easily. This thing. When it's all said and done after the training, it's $35,000.
Oh, Jay.
So $5,000 was the dog.
Yeah.
The rest is training.
Wow.
It's 2 years worth of training.
Okay. But so she needs it. You're getting, she has needs that you especially
need. Yeah, she does. And I mean, it's not a sympathy thing. My daughter has what's called FND, which is just a neurological thing that causes her to pass out from time to time or have seizures or go paralyzed. Yeah. So when those things happen, the dog is supposed to sense them, catch her, keep her from hitting the floor, sit by her. Yeah. They last 5 or so minutes and then she's back. It's like it never happened when it's over. It's a very strange thing. Yeah. We're still getting used to it, but we did get the dog. And the reason I mentioned that, my wife wanted to put a fence in the backyard for the dog. And it's like, we can't do that. We'd be the only house on the lake that has a fence. It would be wrong, and you can't see the yard, and you wouldn't be able to see the water. It's like, no, we can't do it. So, but we can put a fire pit.
Yeah. What about, well, it's a dog. I mean, this is a pretty well-trained dog that doesn't probably need a fence, I would imagine, if it's outside.
The dog is very good. It doesn't run. Yeah. It doesn't bark at people. No. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
But it's huge. It's like a horse.
Yeah. I think you're right. The fire pit's a lot lower. Your gazebo, you know, there's some things you could do with umbrellas when you're out there if you want to shade yourself, right? In those situations. Or instead of a full gazebo, you could kind of do a half, you know, I'm sure, you know, depending upon where it sits in its direction, you could go with like a half shelter that is see-through where you could put, you know, you could cover it when you need to, when you're out there kind of deal or something along those lines. So
I envision sitting there at night.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. We go out as the sun's going down. So in the winter it's different because it gets so dark so early. Right. But in the fall, when you're really out doing fire pits, we find that, you know, the sun's still kind of going down. I don't care about that. In the fall, you don't care. The sun's actually kind of nice, so you probably don't need to worry about that. On the deck in the summer, we need to block the sun because it's just blaring in on you. And so I've just purchased some 8x6 shades that we can quickly. I have some quick. They're like bungee cords, but they have a little ball on the end, so you can wrap it through the hole and then quickly just connect it. It's great. I don't know what those are called, but those are awesome. And I have two of those, and we just string them along the side that faces to the west, blocks out the sun. We're in Bob's your uncle, and you know we're in pretty good shape at that point. And then I bought a cantilever or a big 11x13 cover that you just crank it out and bring it out. And actually, it's interesting when you get on the deck and you get it enclosed with the shades on the side and the thing over the top. I can set that up in 5 minutes. That's what's just crazy about that, right? It feels nice. Feels the being enclosed. It kind of feels good now. And then of course, I put a TV with I took a Visa mount and put it on the back of the TV. And then I have you know, I've got a pole out there that is just designed for that. So I can just take the TV out, set it down. I could leave it out there. It's just not going to last as long. But
I my neighbors have theirs is outdoors all year long.
Yeah, you could. You could in most cases. In the depths of winter here, an LED screen's not going to last as long if you leave it out in 20 below. So we do bring it in. But you know, that piece. And then I did some wiring on the deck, so all you got to do is just you slide it on the mount, plug it into the, there's a plug right where it's supposed to go in, turn it on, and you know, we use a Bluetooth Bose speaker. It's great, you know, out there. I think you'll find some. Well, good luck on getting. So you looked at stones. Are the stones on order? Are they coming in? You having somebody deliver them?
Well, yeah. I think I told you before that the backyard is not large. I mean, it's literally maybe 20 feet from the house to the water. Yeah. And that's because half of our yard is actually the water.
Yeah.
So we only get use of 20 feet at most. So when the crop circle that's out there right now takes up a huge portion of the yard, and then we put the Adirondack chairs around it, is going to extend that even a little further.
That's going to be great.
So when we went to buy the mulch, we went and looked at the acceptable stone that the wife would approve to go in the backyard. So, but now with the crop circle, with the yard coming along, going down and getting the mulch and the stuff that made the wife happy, I think the stone is in, putting the stone down and everything. I think we're on our way to having a fire pit for the fall.
Good. All right. Well, next time you're on, I want to see some pictures and some progress.
Next time we've been talking about your
fire pit for a while.
It's been a year.
It has been.
This time last year, I wanted that fire pit.
Well, Jav, full
faith. Working on wife time.
Full faith and confidence that you're going to get this. You're going to get this fire pit in.
I'm glad you do.
You know, I think you're going to get it done. Justin says, got to love those Bose Revolve speakers. And you do. Listen, from an outdoor speaker standpoint, things that you can carry with you, man, those Revolve. I think I have the Revolve 2 on it. Holy buckets, that's a great speaker. I mean, I don't know what kind of wizardry Bose is doing in their stuff.
They're amazing.
They are amazing. And I think that's a $250 or $300 speaker now, so it's not cheap. But I can't tell you how many times I've dropped that thing on the deck. You know, okay, it's the end of the night. We may or may not have been having adult beverages.
There may have been a drink.
The kids and I are pulling things in the house. You know, we always put things down, put them away, those kinds of things each night, bring stuff in. That speaker has been knocked off the top of the deck 1,000 times. It's like, you hear it, conk, 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 conk on the deck. You're like, oh, there's the speaker. Yep. And it's a champ. I wouldn't, man, that Bose Revolve, it's a champ.
When I lived in Boston, they weren't far from my house. Their actual facilities.
Yeah. I don't know what they do. I'm going to look this up here. Revolve 2.
It's all in their engineering.
Plus?
It's all in their engineering, the way they
yeah, no, right on.
The audio.
The bass is incredible. I take the thing in with me when we work out. I have a buddy that, and sometimes on Sundays, we go in and work out in the stairwells at work. Nobody's there. And I take that speaker in and put it at the bottom of the stairwell and just blast it, and it goes all the way up the stairwell. The bass on that thing is incredible. Yeah, they're like $220, so it's not terrible. It's not, I mean, that's still an expensive speaker.
Well, when you said that earlier, I was thinking to myself, it's amazing what we think is a lot of money and what we think is not, depending on what we're purchasing.
That's true.
Because we're talking about the computers earlier, and we're nickel and diming every decision we're making. And we're talking about a speaker for a fire pit. It's only $300.
I know.
Or no, we're talking about it, you know, anything else.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, some of the stuff that we do is funny. Like some of the stuff I buy for my car or whatever, it's like, okay, do I need that? No, but it comes with it, right?
I know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah. No, you're 100% right. Okay. Let me give a quick solar update. So
yes,
folks have been following along on my solar journey here. So just just in case you haven't, let me bring folks up to speed. So I have a couple eco-worthy 18-volt, 100-watt solar panels. And I bought a bunch of wiring to make it all work. That's getting plugged into a Blue Eddy AC180, which has been my UPS, to be honest. And the whole idea was maybe I can get some solar power to augment the power during the day. You know, when I'm the sun is up, there's things going on. I run about 500 watts of energy usage in my studio. And the goal was like, could I replace that 500 watts, at least during the day, with sunshine? Well, the Blue Eddy what I thought had solar priority, it does not, which means once the battery is charged to 100%, it only pulls from the grid. So when you're running it and you have a load on it, it's pulling from the grid and from solar until the battery gets fully charged. And then to protect the battery, they shut off the solar charging and only pull from the grid. It's a pass through at that point, right? Protects the batteries. Otherwise they're charging, uncharging. Doesn't the MPPT controller, it's not smart enough inside the Blue Eddy. So so that's where we ended it last in the testing that we have. I was really disappointed that I couldn't get both solar and grid power working at the same time. So I've picked up recently an EcoFlow because they can do this. I picked up an EcoFlow Delta 3, not the Pro, but the Delta 3. It's the same size as the Blue Eddy, 1024 watt hour battery, 18. Now it's a little bit, it has a little bit 1800 watt inverter in it. The version I bought, I'm not sure. It says a 500 watt PV controller. So bringing in solar power up to 500 watts. But I'm kind of, and I think it's $549 right now. I got it for $515, which was kind of nice. It will give me, and they have a way better app than Blue Eddy does. And so it'll give me for $500, it'll give me a really nice look at the EcoFlow solar generator system. They're kind of the more popular one, right, on the solar generator side of things. And again, it'll give me some ability to do some testing. Over the last week, shortened all the cables. I bought a bunch of MC4 connector ends. And because I bought 90 feet of cable in 30-foot lengths that had ends on it. And unfortunately, MC4 connectors are not necessarily reusable by the way they're installed. You put a end on it, you crimp it, that's it. It's done. On there. You're cutting it off, right? You could probably reuse I need to find a place to buy there's a connector end and then there's a cover that goes over the top of it. I need to find a place to buy those connectors so I can just reuse the plastic pieces, the actual connectors that go together. So that's on order. It should be here Monday. Should have a better, I'm hoping, have a better experience with both bringing power in, using both power and both solar power and grid power at the same time. Justin says in chat here, this was another reason to try the EcoFlow. By the way, not sponsored. I bought all this, both the Blue Eddy and the EcoFlow I've bought. The EcoFlow has better home integration with a home assistant. So the Blue Eddy used to, but for whatever reason, they, on the Bluetooth side of things, they encrypted it so it wouldn't work with home assistant and only works in the app, both on Android and iPhone, which is okay. I mean, it's fine for what it does. It's going to give me some additional options. So once this comes in and I get that tested, I may have the opportunity to pick up then another 200 watt panels and build this thing out to a 400 watt grid, so to speak. And again, I mean, I don't plan on replacing, I'm not trying to build a whole home. I just wanted to get smarter about grid power, you know, just so I could talk about it more.
I have questions.
Yeah. Fire away. I like it.
Because I don't know if this would suit the purpose, but my wife, one of the approved items to purchase would be a camper. We have thousands of state parks around us.
Yeah.
So I do not want a camper. And if we did, she wants the one that would be pulled by a truck. I want the one that you would drive. I'm trying to get as little friction as possible. You want to go someplace, you hop in and you go. So my thought, what I would like to do is buy like the Scooby-Doo van.
Yeah.
You know, the old school RV, small, like almost what could be used as a daily driver, but you would use it for camp purposes.
Okay.
And then rather driving to a state park and staying in a cabin or whatever they have there, park this in their campsite and stay there. Yeah. But the power, like you're talking about the power.
Yeah.
So is that something that I could use for that purpose?
100%.
Okay. Yeah. So you said you're buying solar panels. So the solar panels are to charge that generator. Mm-hmm. So the generator is $550.
Yep.
Then how much are the solar panels to charge the generator?
Yeah, it depends on how big they are, but they can be, you know, anywhere from $250 to another $500 for the panels, depending on how big you get. So
let's say you're talking about $1,000.
Yeah.
How long would it take to charge that generator?
So that generator will charge, let me look here, I think with the panels, 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours.
And then how long does it last?
Full solar. Well, it's 1,000 watt hours. So if you had a 100 watt light bulb or device of some kind, it would last for 10 hours. That's a gross oversimplification, but that's, you know, it probably be more like 9, but let's just say 10 hours. So you get 10 hours out of 100 watts.
So then a laptop or something like that.
Depends. Well, the average laptop runs around 100, maybe to 100, 125 when it's in full use.
That's it.
Right. They're not terribly, you can get ones that run more, but you know, my Lenovo has a 135 watt box on it. It probably runs less than that, just to be honest.
So you're talking about 7 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. If at full speed.
Most of the time, you're watching a movie or something.
Yeah, not even that, to be honest with you, right? I mean, you're probably going to, the average laptop is probably going to last a full, if you were going to bring it off of this thing by itself, most of the day, 12 hours. You probably get 12 hours out of that, depending on the laptop, depending on the usage.
And then the laptop be fully charged at that point, too, and then that goes for another hour.
No, for sure. Yeah, no, you go for another right. Yeah, you go for another right. Yeah, that's kind of the way that works. In the RV world, right, what matters is the fridge, right? Everybody's got a DC, you buy a DC fridge, and then that plugs into something like this. And so, yeah, the question is always, how long does that fridge last? Depends on the fridge, depends on the some of those kinds of things.
I'm, again, way simple.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo van, no fridge.
Okay.
Yeah. Scooby-Doo van would might, you know, throw a cooler. Yeah. I want simplicity. Show up. I don't want to pack. I don't want to do any of those things. She's a prepper. I mean, she wants to, you know, plan out the food for the days or whatever. I just want to wake up one morning and say, hey, you want to go to the campsite for the night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have, like right now, they've got a version of this, the EcoFlow Delta 3. It's got, comes with a 160 watt solar panel. And so, you know, assuming you're not going to get a full 160 out of that, right? You're going to get 120, let's say. So in 10 hours, it would charge that in theory, right? In 10 hours, you'd have to have perfect sun and some of those kinds of things. That's $800, right? And then you could, I think they've got for $850, you're talking about a 220 watt bifacial, which means it can charge on both sides, which is kind of cool. Charge on the front, and then any reflection coming from the back will pick it up.
Well, I got a question then.
Yeah.
So if you're charging this and it takes that long to charge something, is this the type of thing that you can leave unattended someplace?
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So it's not the type of thing that walks away.
No. Nope. Set it up, plug it in. You could even, you know, you could put the panel outside of the RV and put the charger on the inside and lock it. You know, you there's things you can buy to connect it.
Right.
Yeah. No, you could kind of set it. The other thing you can do, I mean, this thing will charge on a 110 outlet, will charge in an hour. So you could charge it. You could take it somewhere, right. You know, charge it up.
Hey, you want to go to McDonald's?
Yeah. Right. Carry your solar charger. There we go. But you, hey, do you guys
but most, 110 most campgrounds have charging stations they for do. Cell phones and stuff.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty part about living around here is all of the campgrounds. It's insane. And to be fair, even the cabins that we stay in are not expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it makes a nice... I think having one of these for $500, like this is... They used to be 1,000. They're now $500, right? I think the beauty of these is it gives you options when you're camping, you know, when you're out camping. I think personally, I would never for home use. Now that I've done this, I would never have a UPS that's lead acid batteries. Like that's insane. Why would you put up with, you know, for now it's double the price. You know, the average UPS is probably, let's say it's $150. So it's three times the price, right?
But I'm looking down at mine trying to figure out what it is.
Your APC, if it's an APC or whatever, it's lead acid, the old school. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll last like 7 minutes if your battery goes out. It's seven to 10 minutes, right?
Long enough to shut it down.
That's what it was designed for. So no, like no, you know, no shade there, so to speak, because that's what it was designed for. But, you know, this here in my, listen, in my situation, I'm running probably to three times more equipment than the average person would. And if we lost power right now, I could finish this podcast and you would never even know that thing. The lights might flicker for a moment and then you would never even know for an hour. I'd be good for an hour. I could finish this out. It would be just fine. So I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the upgrade for even for home use. Now I bought the Blue Eddy AC-180. They now have the AC-200. Upgrade V2, more solar input, a little bit longer. Like these things just keep getting better, right? From that perspective. Do you have to go that large? No, you could probably get away with you know, these are 1,000 watt hour batteries. You could probably get away with a 700 watt hour, or maybe even a 500 watt hour battery. That's like $300. You know, so if somebody had one computer,
and is it like a true 50% time, like instead of getting 10 hours, you get 5 hours.
What do you mean? I don't
for the lasting of,
oh, know, how long it lasts. It just depends on the load, right? It just really depends on what you're putting on it. So, you know, if you got a 500 watt hour battery, that means you can get 500 watts for an hour. So if it's 250, then you get 2 hours. If it's 125, you get 4 hours, right? Kind of deal. So, you kind of just do the math. It's a little more complicated than that, but that's pretty close, right, from that standpoint.
The thing that my UPC has here is a power conditioner. So for the musical equipment I run, it has to stay at 120 all the time.
You're at a pure sine. All these are pure sine. No, I shouldn't say all of them. Most of them pure sine wave. You're fine. Like it's DC, so. The inverters are built. I mean, they're pretty expensive inverters that are, you know, most of it's inverters, right? And they're pure sine wave. So yeah, you're fine from that aspect. Justin out in chat says he's got some good comments. Higher wattage single facial, which means just on the front side, right, can be mounted on top of the camper, and that's totally true. Erin was talking about that a couple weeks ago when she was here. You know, I mentioned a bifacial. Those are really good if you're going to be ground mounted outside, right? Because they can pick up some of that. You know, you can put something reflective behind them and make it work that way. But you don't need to do bifacial if you're going to mount it on top of the camper. You could do that as well. Nobody's going to get to it up there. The nice thing is they have some portable ones they're, you know, they're foldable, so you can put them away when you're camping. Yeah, you can pull them out, put them on a picnic table. And then you can get them exactly pointed towards the sun. You can even look up on your phone your location and say, what's the right degree to have this at? And then you can set those at the right degree and kind of point. Yeah, it's crazy. Nice. It is crazy. He does. Justin goes on to say there's now new 500-watt panels in a single unit, and that's true. They're pretty big. That are at least new, open box, left over from projects from 440-watt panels that are about 100, and this is Australian dollars. Yeah, I mean, and we're far along now, Jay, in the solar experience where you can get used solar panels that are 80% now, so they're not going to be full. Like, you're not going to get full out of them. Or they're left over from projects or whatever. They're trying to get rid of them. And somebody sent me an email. I forget your name already, so I apologize for that if you're listening. But there, I talked about solar panels at 50 cents a watt, right? That's what I'm buying at, basically, 50 cents a watt. That's actually the most, that's pretty expensive. A dollar a watt, if you just go to Amazon, that's easy. Dollar a watt's pretty easy. 50 cents a watt when they're on sale, but you can get them at 20 or 30 cents a watt. So it's not a bad, not a bad. Now, the hard part is you got to find them. And oftentimes they don't deliver. They're local. You got to go pick them up. Those kinds of things, right? But there are there are less ways to do this. But yeah, on the camper side of things.
That might be the key.
Yeah. At least you always have power.
Right.
You know, no matter what. You can always run a light, charge the phones.
You know, run the air condition, well, you know, you window mount.
You can. Yeah, you can. No, actually, in some of these spaces now, in these small spaces, the air conditioners have gotten really efficient. And so you can get away. I mean, this is like
it's no longer camping.
No, you're glamping. You are glamping for sure, right?
Oh, dear God.
When you're... So Justin says, I love this. He says, if you didn't hear your wallet scream when you bought it, it's lead acid for sure. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I know for sure.
Justin, so, what part of Australia are you from?
We'll let him chime in on that. So that's, for me, that's, the EcoFlow, generator will be in the Delta 3 will be in, not Pro, but the Delta 3. Will be in, it doesn't have the Delta Pros have 30 amp plugs on them, or the Delta 3s just have 110 and 20 amps, I think, maybe is the most. Maybe it's 15. It's very, very
what possible. Would be the purpose for having the others?
Running like for whole home backup.
Oh.
If you wanted to run smaller air conditioners, you know, a home air conditioner is like 240, you know, you're going to need some juice to get that thing going, and you want to make sure the
you're talking like a true traditional window unit.
True, yeah, a big one. Or no, I'm talking about the outside ones that run.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Window units in the most case are 110 and they're 20 amps, so you can run that off anything for the most part.
Okay.
Now, anything new, and then there's a whole line of window air conditioners that are coming out that are hybrid, kind of efficient, super efficient. And those might run, I think the Shed runs at 500 watts, which not terrible. That's startup. Like, so, you know, that may not be true. That may be like 1,000 startup and then 500. I have to measure that. Justin says, hold on, let me bring Justin's comment in here. He says, Mornington Peninsula, Victoria, Melbourne. It's near city, most welcome.
Now I only ask because I went to school in Queensland, the University of Queensland. Oh, nice. Now, I did it online, so please don't assume I went to here Australia.
You did not travel. You did not travel.
Yes, but it was in Queensland. The exact opposite side of the country.
Yeah, right on. Right on. We're getting better, you know, some of these mini splits that are available now. You have an outdoor unit, run it in through true DI. If you're thinking about cooling down a single room or even a single large room, for about $1,500, you can get a Mr. Cool mini split. So it's got a unit that goes outside, punch a hole about 4 inches through your wall, spray, send the thing through, spray foam it in, you know, and then put it on your wall. It's a 4-hour install, maybe not even that. You're up and running. You can plug it in, or some of them are solar. You can run them half off solar and half off grid power. So
those are the ones I see that are like kind of vertical, just mounted
to the wall. Yeah, those are the mini splits. So, and those are those have gotten really efficient. So we're in the golden age of cooling. Like, there's never been more great ways.
So just changed that one in my house here. So it was hefty, but I got a pretty good deal.
Yeah. And it's probably 35 or 40% more efficient than your old one. You know,
I hope so.
Yeah. For the price, you'll never make that money back up. Just to be clear, you'll never make it back up. But it's all good on that.
Well, dude, I got a pretty good deal. I don't know why the guy gave me such a good deal. The guy came to the house. I had like three people come out for quotes, and I had insurance, so they were going to pay for a piece of it. So they sent three people out for quotes, and they were all like $14,000. And then the last guy who came out, he's like, well, how much were your other quotes? And I handed it to him, and they're quoting inside and outside, and they were $7,000 each. And he just saw the $7,000. And said, I can do it for $7,000. I said, okay, sold.
Yeah.
And he did it for $7,000 inside and out.
That's crazy.
Same unit.
That's crazy. That is crazy. You probably got you probably didn't get the most efficient outside.
Probably got the guy who was pissed off at his company or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's good money in that for sure. You know, I was fortunate. We had our air conditioner done 3 years ago before all the prices started skyrocketing on that. And the air conditioner I got, my HVAC guy's old school. I asked him about, like, hey, do you put in these new, register, these new thermostats, like a Nest? He's like, no, I hate those things. All they do is produce calls for help. He's like, nope, you're going to get an old school, and we have an old school programmable, which is just fine. I was like, okay, that's fine. And then I said, will there be like Wi-Fi access to the thing? And he's like, no. He's like, not in a million years, for what he was selling me anyways. Some of the things you buy now, you can get hot water heaters that have, Wi-Fi built into water.
That's heaters. A whole nother episode. I need a hot water heater. So
yeah, I just replaced mine last year, and we did a kitchen and bathroom remodel, and it was like, well, we might as well replace the hot water. The water heater, of course, it's hot. I always say hot water heater.
Right.
And you're like, do you need to say hot? Isn't that the? It's
like my wife says ink pen all the time.
What does she say?
Ink pen.
Ink pen for the heater, for the water?
No, for a pen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah. You're like, doesn't pen mean
ink? Yeah, it's ink. Got it. You don't say lead. Well, I guess people do say lead pencil. I don't know.
We did a 50-gallon, and I immediately saw our water usage shoot up, by the way. I was like, oh, a little more. We got a little more. No, it wasn't the water usage. It was the gas. It's a gas-fired hot water heater. And
I don't know. Ours is our gas bill went up. Knock on wood or anything here, but ours, it isn't broken, but it's old. Like, old.
Yeah, you should just get it replaced. It's a good, and right now with the prices of things, sooner is probably better than later. So, and you can spend, listen, you can get a home automated hot water. Sorry.
You can get a
water heater. Yeah. Or you can just go old school and get the water heaters that's what we did. We just got a basic one. Huh? No. Sarah's like, is a shoe? Why are you guys talking about water heaters on home? Say it again. What? Oh, she wants to start the dryer. All right, Jay, anything, sir. What's coming up on your show? Anything folks should be, you got any big guests coming up on your show?
We do have some guests coming up on the show. We've just, like I said, we had Billie Joe Jones just recently. That was a very good experience. She's a very nice girl. She's on a new TV show called The Road. It starts in October. So it would be worth checking out. Like I mentioned, she's been on American Idol. She's been on The Voice. Now she's going to be on The Road. And this is run by Blake Shelton and Keith Urban. So it's going to be a good show. It's going to be something to look forward to. So for right now, that's the one I'm most excited about seeing. But we also had Trey Calloway on recently, another great up-and-coming artist. He's got a very Garth Brooks sound to him. And then is when we talk about the ones that are big and that we've known, big one we've had recently that's just ongoing, comes back and very nice to us, is William Lee Golden from the Oak Ridge Boys.
Oh, nice. It is nice to have those guests, you know, like Aaron for me, who they like being on the show. And so they keep coming back. Sounds like that's a guest for you.
Yeah. No, we have a few of those. That's nice. So Billie Joe Jones has been on 3 times. Trey Calloway's been on a handful of times. And William Lee Golden has been on a couple times now.
So. Nice. Nice. JayFranzi.com. If you want to take a look at the book, that's the best way to buy it. Head out to JayFranzi, FranZe.com. If you want to check that out, and Jay, I'll have that available for you. Jay, congratulations again on the book.
Thank you, sir.
That's an amazing. It's amazing. I'm always amazed folks get those things done. It's never going to happen in my lifetime. I don't want it to happen in my lifetime. I don't have the patience for that, but always appreciate it for folks who can and can put it in there. Thanks for coming on tonight and being a friend of the show. You always say yes when I ask you, and we always have a good conversation. So thanks for coming on tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to have you. Can you hang around while I close this thing up?
Absolutely.
Is that okay? All right. A couple reminders on the way out. If you want to join the Discord group, head out to theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Lots of great conversations going on there. It's not going to overwhelm your life. You can just jump in there, maybe 1 or 2 new threads a week. So if you want to join us in there, theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Then let me remind you, theaverageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and trust. You know that's Christian. Head out to maplegrovepartners.com. I think he's still doing $10 plans. Like, you can't find that price anywhere. And Christian's still doing it. I talked to him today. I think he's going to be on the show in 3 weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. So you're going to want to keep listening. If you haven't joined us live, Thursday nights, most times 7 p.m. Central, most times 7 p.m. Central. No, it's my fault. I was not real clear as I'm cutting over the guests. I need to make sure I'm clear about that going on. Next week, I'm off. I have a wedding that I'm going to. One of my best friends at work is getting married. And so I'll be spending some time that week wedding. Brian Friedlander is back on the 4th. And then 9/11 is the next week. And I just decided, you know what? I'm not going to podcast on 9/11. I know it's been a while, but I'm going to honor the day. And so we'll take 9/11 off, and then 9/18, I'm shooting for Christian. So we're hoping that he'll be back. He will be back then. We are live every Thursday, 7 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv/live. If you're listening to the podcast, love to have you come out and join us live. Big thanks to Brian, Justin. Ken was out here a little bit earlier. Schoonover was hanging out. Jim Shoemaker was in chat. Appreciate you guys coming and joining us live. And you could too. Just come on a Thursday night, theaverageguy.tv/live. You don't even need to know where to go. Just go to theaverageguy.tv/live. Post it there. You can watch us on the YouTube video that I've embedded there. We'll catch you back here in 2 weeks. For those listening live, thanks for coming out. For those on the podcast, thanks for listening. With that, we'll say goodbye.